John, can you tell us where we have been and where we are and maybe where we might go?
Certainly, Chair Starr and members of the committee. You have before you House Bill 2137B, and particularly review for our House members on this committee because we did have it originally in the House. It modifies a variety of motor vehicle statutes. It exempts Class 1 and Class 3 all-terrain vehicles, or ATVs, from title and registration requirements. It eliminates requirement for all-terrain vehicle and snowmobile operators reporting accidents. It removes specified enforcement activities as a use of snowmobile registration fees. As you may recall, that applies to the AG opinion. It allows transfer of Oregon Trail plate from vehicle to vehicle. It allows the dealer to issue temporary registration to buyer who is to keep prior plates, and eliminates requirement for vehicles used by law enforcement for undercover operations to receive annual DEQ testing. It also eliminates requirement that insurers report vehicle accidents occurring on private property. And this other section was originally in House Bill 2306, House members. As you recall, it's the open container provision, and because somehow that bill wasn't moving, it was inserted into this bill. It provides an exception to the open container prohibition for passengers in certain commercial passenger vehicles. Now, members, you also have copies of the four amendments you are considering for adoption. Today, you have the proposed B8 amendment, which requires DMV to pay administrative expenses from fees charged for manufactured structure program, and the surplus funds are to be transferred to State Highway Trust Fund. That section or that amendment is an AG remedy also. The proposed B10 amendment, which you should have in your packet, requires the Department of Education to conduct study of suggested uses for motor coaches or school buses by school districts. It establishes time frame of June 30th, 2008 to eliminate operation of those school buses manufactured prior to April 1st of 1977. It also requires the State Board of Education to adopt rules regulating suspension or revocation of bus driver permit for failure to pass drug or alcohol screening tests. It also establishes some of the rules to be adopted regarding notification, the immediate suspension, reinstatement, and contested case hearings. It's very important to note, also, this amendment also requires the permanent revocation of bus driver's permit upon department's determination in the hearing that the driver failed the drug test, drug or alcohol screening test. This also creates, for the first time, because currently a fee is not charged, it creates a $15 fee to be paid to the Department of Education for issuance or renewal of school bus driver permit, and requires these funds to be applied to administrative expenses incurred from contested case hearings. That pretty much sums up the amendment in the B10 amendment before you. The proposed B12 is a rather simple amendment. It's a conflict amendment that applies to Senate Bill 445, which makes it uniform with the exemption for all Class 1 all-terrain vehicles from registration requirements in this bill. And the proposed B13 amendment, which was just drafted recently and is DMV sponsored, repeals the fee for the disabled parking permit. I include in parentheses for your information, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled collecting a fee for a disabled person parking permits violates the Americans with Disabilities Act. So DMV has wanted to amend the bill with this amendment because if we don't take the action, they will be subject to lawsuit during the interim. In corresponding with folks as far as the revenue and fiscal, we do not anticipate any revenue impact on any of these amendments or a fiscal impact that's adverse to the general budget. And that's pretty much it, Chair Starr.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Dunn.
I have a question. As I understand from what you said, if you suspend the driver for the violation of the drug alcohol testing, you may not, will this hold true 20 years later?
Yes, it would.
It's permanent.
It's permanent. I don't know that I want to hold things up. I guess I do think there's a time when people do repent and change their way of life, I think that's a bit harsh. Obviously, I do not want someone who has an alcohol problem or a drug problem driving a school bus. So you can well imagine I'm not be for that, but I am, and I don't want to hold this thing up, but I am a bit concerned about that particular part of it. Maybe somebody else has some comment on it.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, may I comment on that?
Or Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate what the good senator from Clackamas County has pointed out. However, I would offer as another point on that, the permanent revocation of the permit for driving a school bus, I think there's a, I think it's right and justifiable to set a higher standard for those who drive our children.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about their operating permit as a citizen, you know, their driving permit. We're not talking about other forms of work. But we're saying that we establish, whether it's medical license or whatever, there's a higher standard in certain occupations. And if you choose to transport children, and under that knowledge and circumstance, you violate an extreme safety issue, I think we owe it to not only those children but their parents to know that that is a standard that is worth adhering to. It does not apply to any other operational, you know, vehicle issues, only for the transport of children. And I think that I think we owe it to citizens for that confidence that we're going to maintain a higher standard in that arena. I don't think it does anything to limit their you know, choices in employment elsewhere, but I think that's a critical one.
Senator Mesley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm concerned about the Dash 10 amendment and that there were several issues. This is basically Senate Bill 85 stuffed into this bill, it looks to me like. Some of the issues that we discussed at our hearings included the motor coaches, and I'm not clear as to what this bill means because, as I read it, we're going to study the uses of motor coaches. Does that mean that they will be included in the buses which will not be operative after 2008, or does that mean that they are exempt from that piece of the amendment and they will be studied first? And also, I voted no on Senate Bill 85 simply because for districts such as mine and throughout my Senate district who are struggling with just trying to deal with the loss of enrollment, to put this kind of a financial burden on them is very extreme. Granted that they are not interested in running unsafe buses, their maintenance, they are converting these buses as fast as they can. Also, does this amendment deal with some of the vans and the size of vans and this type of thing? So I would just request more explanation on what, if this is exactly what Senate Bill 85 dealt with, or if this amendment defines and articulates the issues more.
Yeah. Senator, I appreciate those questions. I'll have Chuck Bennett and Jim Green come up. But before they, as they're coming up, this is significantly narrower than what Senate Bill 85 did. In the Section 11, the department or the section related to the motor coaches, that's a study only and a report back to the legislature of those. Section 12 of the amendment deals only with school buses manufactured prior to 77. And I believe that this amendment actually adds another year from when Senate Bill 85 had. I think Senate Bill 85 was June 30th, 2007. They can correct me if I'm wrong, but that is another year. And I've had extensive conversations with my school district. I think it's one of the districts that has the most number of these buses in their fleet. And they reassured me that it would be a situation where they would be able to transition out of these buses into newer ones.
Chuck Chairman,
if you have anything you'd further like to add concerning how this reflects or doesn't reflect Senate Bill 85.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think my name is Chuck Bennett. I represent the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators on this bill. Mr. Chairman, you're absolutely correct. In response to Section 11 actually is a protection for the continued use of motor coaches during this study period, which does not exist today. One of our major concerns with Senate Bill 85, as you recall, we testified against a number of portions of that bill, was that these motor coaches could, by rule, be immediately eliminated, and we felt that they should at least have the opportunity to be reviewed, and we know that you have a couple of them down in districts you represent. There are a couple in other districts. This will give the department an opportunity to take a look at those coaches, determine the safety issues associated with them, and make a recommendation to the next legislative assembly. This really gives them a new lease on life and an opportunity to really get a fair hearing by the department. The extension of 1 year on the 1977 buses will give districts that currently have them the time they're really going to need to retire those buses. It's a bit more time. We've worked very closely with them to develop those that date, and they all feel quite comfortable they can meet that. This, we believe, is a good bill that deals with safety, addresses the issues that were heard in Senate Bill 85 in terms of a whole range of safety issues. We've met with department representatives, Deborah Lincoln, the transportation section of the Department of Education. She supports the bill in its entirety. We have talked with other representatives at the department. This bill is supported by the department, and we've been allowed to make that representation today.
Thank you, Jim. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee, Jim Green with the Oregon School Boards Association. I know there's been some concern brought up by some folks in the audience with regard to Section 14 of the Dash 10 amendments, which deals with the fee. Currently, the Department of Education does not charge a fee for the issuance of a school bus driver's permit or certificate. That fee is put in the bill to establish that because they've been underwriting that cost out of their budget. In speaking with Department of Education representatives, if they currently have hearings with regard to revocations for a variety of reasons, then they underwrite that cost. This is a fee assessed to address that cost as well as the study of the motor coach issue. As you look at Section 14 of the Dash 10s, it says that the State Board of Education shall adopt rules instituting the $15 fee to the Department of Ed by any individual seeking the issuance or renewal. There's been some concern about the individual having to pay that cost. We would support, and in discussions with the Department of Ed, would support adoption of administrative rules that allow for that fee to either be paid through a collective bargaining agreement with the district could pay that, similar to what we've done with the criminal background check and fingerprinting of school employees. For those of you that don't know, we do criminal background checks on folks. There's about a $52 fee associated with that. There was some concern when that was passed that that could be costly for some employees in school districts that don't work full-time. So we negotiated into the administrative rules that that's up to collective bargaining. The district can pay it, the individual can pay it, and that if the individual wants to pay it, we can deduct that amount out of their paycheck over time and required to do that, and we'd be willing to support that through administrative rule. The $15 fee is necessary to meet this cost associated with the study and the contested case hearings that may be brought if a person fails a drug or alcohol test. Without the fee, the Department of Education cannot support the bill as it's currently written. And we do support the Dash 10s. We believe this is, it will eliminate those pre-77 buses. Senator Messerly, it does deal with the issue of motor coaches, gives the time to study, look at the safety issues, concerns around those. It also gets at an issue with regard to individuals who want to drive school buses that have failed the drug or alcohol screening test. Information from the department just this school year, they had 17 individuals that failed those. That's 17 individuals that they know of. There is some confusion between federal law and state law right now as to whether when an individual fails a drug or alcohol test, the school district or ESD has to notify the Department of Ed. The Department of Education wants that information, and the school districts would like to have that be provided to them, but there's some confusion right now. And this sets a pretty clear state policy that this is a safety issue. I think Senator Metzger addressed that very clearly, that for individuals that fail a drug or alcohol test, we don't want them behind our school bus wheels of driving our kids around.
I see it as a zero tolerance. And we have zero tolerance for weapons in our schools. I think there should be a zero tolerance for school bus drivers to use any kind of substance that could render them having their faculties less than at 100%, let's say. Representative Berger and then Senator Metzger.
Would you define motor coach for me, please?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berger, there is not a clear statutory definition of motor coach, but what the idea is behind this in talking to legislative counsel in this, it's a vehicle that would carry more than 20 individuals, that's not designed as a school bus, it's those Greyhound or Trailways type vehicles that school districts currently use. I believe in your district, Coos Bay School District currently has those in use, and the department had wanted to take a look at elimination of those. We believe we need to have a study to see the safety issues involved with those, and we believe the Dash 10 amendments will take care of those issues. Give us some time to take a look at what are the safety concerns around those motor coaches.
Would this in any way lead to also eliminating the use of vans?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Berger, no, it does not.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm going to approach this from a little different angle. How do you define school bus?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Messley, school bus has a definition within the National Transportation Safety Board, and it's a vehicle that is designed to carry more than, I think it's 20, I believe, and it has certain construction standards around it. I don't have those CFRs in front of me, but a school bus has a technical definition in federal law as well as Oregon administrative rule that the Department of Education currently has.
Mr. Chair, follow up. So that definition, in your mind, does not include coaches or vans up to a certain size?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Messley, that's correct.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just editorialize very briefly. I can do it now or later after the vote, but I feel a little bit blindsided. This was a big issue when we had this in transportation, and I see the dates of the amendment were June 8th, and this is the first I was aware that this was going to be a part of this bill, and I'm going to support this with the amendments, but I think in fairness to any member of this committee or others, that we should have this kind of information before we step into the meeting room, and I'd like to be able to have a chance to check with my constituents and with other people that have been involved in the process prior to making a vote. But I will support it today.
I appreciate that, and I'll shoulder any kind of responsibility that's necessary for that.
One last comment, yes. Mr. Chairman, and I really think that this is a very sensitive issue in Senator Messler's district and in mine. And so as when we vote, we have to realize that these are sensitive issues to people in our district and in with the school administrators. So.
Thank you. Beth Ann?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Beth Ann Darby, and I represent the Oregon Education Association. A significant number of our members are school bus drivers. We represent classified employees as well as school teachers to frame my comments. We have concerns about these amendments. Our concerns are, first of all, I haven't had a lot of time to analyze the new amendment. In as much as it differs from what's already in federal law, the 1991 Omnibus Transportation Employee Testing Act, which has already been adopted by the state of Oregon through both laws and statutes, we would object to the amendments respectfully. In administrative rules adopted by the Department of Education pertaining to school bus drivers, an applicant shall be refused a school bus driver's certificate or a current certificate shall be suspended or revoked if the applicant or driver has ever been convicted of a crime involving activity in drugs or alcoholic beverages. This shall not apply if the applicant or driver has been free from custody, probation, and parole for the preceding 3 years from the date of application. They also could be refused a license if they've been involved in any unsafe operation of a motor vehicle. It's my belief that the department already has enough rulemaking authority, and there's already enough in statute to alleviate any concerns about unsafe drivers, that they've already been implemented through law and statute. Bus drivers are already subjected to random drug tests. They are already required to report any infractions to their employer and thus to the Department of Education. We already have this as part of our laws. I believe that there is someone in the audience here representing the alcohol and drug treatment providers, and they may want to talk to you a little bit about rehabilitation and the normal course of action that goes with that. The $15 fee, while I certainly understand the department's desire to have some money, some additional funds, you already appropriate money for precisely these reasons, for contested case hearings involving school bus drivers. School bus drivers are paid about $6.50 an hour. We have a hard time recruiting them already. We have a hard time keeping them. If you talk to the representative from the Salem-Keizer School District, she will tell you that the Salem-Keizer bus driver executive, who's ever in charge of transportation here in the Salem-Keizer School District, routinely has to drive buses himself because they can't recruit enough bus drivers. These costs are already in the system. The tests are already in the system. The only thing that's happening through this amendment is that we're making bus drivers who make $6.50 an hour pick up the cost. If safety is truly a concern, then it ought to be one that the school district is willing to absorb. I haven't had a lot of time to analyze these amendments, and I'm sorry if my concerns are a little unorganized, but I would respectfully object to these on behalf of the school bus drivers that the Oregon Education Association represents.
Thank you. Tricia, do you have anything you'd like to come up and address?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Tricia Smith. I represent Oregon School Employees Association, which represents thousands of bus drivers in school districts all over the state. First, let me say that I've had these amendments in my hand for 5 minutes and didn't know about them before that. And so I cannot give you testimony that is as thoughtful and as deep as I would like on this subject. Because it appears to be fairly significant in the effects that the amendment has. Let me just say that my bus drivers are probably some of the strongest proponents for alcohol and drug-free drivers. They do not oppose drug testing for school bus drivers. They believe that is absolutely appropriate. In fact, a portion of Senate Bill 85, which you do not see in these amendments, would have expanded the school bus certification program to include the people who drive thousands of kids, thousands of miles every year, and are never tested for drugs and alcohol. In fact, they don't have anything more than a passenger car endorsement, and they are still driving kids, up to 15 of them at a time, and don't have any certification. When I heard that there was a school bus driver amendment down the hall and it was dealing with drug and alcohol problems, I was hoping that the amendment would be to bring in those people into the certification program who are not currently tested. We certainly believe that is a far more significant problem than passing an amendment that forces the school district to do what it can do right now, and that is report failed drug and alcohol tests to the department. Currently, the department suspends and revokes licenses when they are aware that a school bus driver has failed a drug or alcohol test. Some school districts choose instead to negotiate other alternatives in their contracts with their school bus drivers to get drivers into treatment programs if they have an alcohol problem. In fact, in this building, we've heard testimony this session that virtually all kinds of occupations, including police officers, firefighters, and school bus drivers, have agreements with their employers to provide that kind of treatment option for failed drug or alcohol tests. We don't think if it's reasonable for a police officer to have that kind of agreement, that it's not reasonable for a school bus driver to have that kind of agreement. And this amendment would eliminate the ability of school bus drivers to continue to negotiate those agreements where they're appropriate. As I said, school districts right now have the authority and the ability to do everything in this amendment. And it's interesting that they're coming to you asking you to force them to do it when they can do it now. It's a good idea. They should be doing it now. I would suggest that instead of the dash 10 amendments, you go back and look at the full language of Senate Bill 85. And if we're concerned about drug and alcohol problems with people who are transporting children in school, we expand the certification program to capture those many, many drivers who right now are never tested at all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Alan Trussiter, and I'm before you today representing the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Program Directors Association of Oregon. My concerns on these amendments, which everyone spoke to, we haven't had a long time to analyze these, but my concerns go to lines 24 and 25 on page 2, which direct the Department of Education to permanently revoke a person's permit or certificate if the determination is made that the person failed the drug or alcohol screening test. Chemical dependency is a disease. It is a permanent, incurable, progressive, fatal disease, but it can be treated. And the effective part of any treatment program includes a series of a very rigid program steps that a person being treated for chemical dependency takes. That's why most major private corporations in this country have very extensive employee assistance programs to help their employees who may be affected by drugs or alcohol, because employee assistance programs, getting someone into treatment and getting them clean and sober is far, far more cost-effective than firing them and retraining employees. That's the most expensive thing a business can do, is to rehire and retrain employees. As part of any effective chemical dependency treatment program, we have a series of rules and regulations that the person under treatment has to understand. And most agreements like that include what are called last chance agreements, in which you failed a test, you complete a treatment program, you have routine unannounced urinalysis examinations to make sure you're drug and alcohol free. And you also, every treatment program that I'm aware of, when you come out, that you're referred there by an employee assistance program, you sign an agreement that you understand that if you fail your analysis, that then you're terminated. There is no instance that I'm aware of, there may be some, but I'm not aware of any, that upon the first failure of such an examination would you be permanently terminated. What we want to do, a matter of good public policy in this state has always been that we want to encourage people who may be addicted to drugs or alcohol to undergo treatment. And treatment is effective. We know that treatment works. And so I would strongly encourage you to at least delete that portion of these amendments that talk about permanently revoking. We need to have last chance agreements to make chemical dependency treatment effective and to work for those that are affected. So I would urge that amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Nucker.
This is a tough one because, as I said earlier, and no one would have to talk to me about the importance of safety for school children. I mean, I obviously have lived with that my whole career, and I've hired a lot of bus drivers. I'm really concerned about the lifetime situation. I want it to be severe, and they do have a responsibility. I'm realizing in many cases you're hiring college students to, and I'm not, please understand, in no way do I condone any violation of the drug or alcohol abuse kind of situations. But I think that people do grow up, some don't. But I guess my preference would be, and I don't mind it being tough. You know, I would even, I'm just thinking, maybe I could go for a 10-year kind of a, and I don't know how our drug and alcohol people feel, a 10-year ban, and then give them an opportunity again. I think there's a possibility. And then again, I believe in strong testing of those people in any violation. And I think that the first violation should count even 10, 20 years later. And I think if the second time you fail a urinalysis test, something like that, revoke it for life. I have no trouble with that. But I guess I'm just thinking that people do change. And I'm thinking, as Alan has said, in the drug rehabilitation programs, people have to be given a chance. And I don't want to take a chance with the safety of kids. But, you know, there is some responsibility on the part of the hiring people, too. As I said, I've hired a number of them. And I think that's part of their responsibility, too. Frankly, this is the kind of thing I would prefer not even be in statute, because I do believe the administrative rules do give them the authorization and take care of it there, and then you can work things. When you get things in statute, it's difficult. But nevertheless, it's here. But I just tossed the idea out, the possibility of maybe a conceptual amendment or something, saying a 10-year, and then that even after 10 years, you'd have to be very clear in an application that you had a revocation. I'm seeing some nodding out there.
I have Senator Metzger, actually, I might want to throw this out, brought this to my attention. What if we, in line 24 of the amendment on page 2, instead of having the word shall, the department shall immediately and permanently revoke the holder's permit or certificate, change that word to may, and then there is discretion there at the department level, for in the case that there we did have a serious violation, or maybe one that's had a previous violation, they could address that. Would that kind of address your
question? Well, I'm not sure, because frankly, if they violate this particular one, I have no problem with revoking their license right then. I don't need second chances there. It's giving them some time, maybe through the growing up period,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I've said maybe some might not like the 10 years even, but I just grabbed that particular one. I'm not satisfied with the 3 that maybe exist now. I'd make it stronger. I guess I kind of go in between the lifetime and down here. I don't have any trouble with having them. I'd fire them on the spot.
Okay. Senator Metzger, you have. I also penciled in here some contemptuous to deal with the senator's idea. Let's just start on line 24. The department shall immediately revoke the holder's permit or certificate for a period of at least 10 years. Tacked it on the end of that sentence.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Metzger.
Just another thought as well. I'm trying to get to what Senator Duncan is, kind of get where you are here, Senator. If you look at lines 2 through 4 on that same page, Senator Duncan, on subsection C, the department may not reinstate or reissue a school bus driver permit or certificate to the holder if the permit or certificate is revoked, where we might do a conceptual amendment there. You know, or we could say something like the department may reinstate or issue a school bus driver permit if the permit or certificate is revoked after, 10 years has elapsed since the time of revocation or something like that. Is that?
So the department may not reinstate or reissue a school bus driver's permit or certificate to the holder permit or certificate is revoked.
Or we could just change
for a period.
We could put a period under. You could just take the word not out and just leave it totally discretionary that they may at any point reinstate. Whether it be 1 year or 10 years, if you just took the word not out, that would make it more discretionary. I mean, you'd go through a revocation process, but you would also give the department the ability to reinstate based on their own discretion, regardless of the time.
Well, if there could be agreement here, I would have no trouble with it. But
I mean, does that meet your concern? I guess that's what I'm... I think it's most important. It would give the ability to reinstate to the department. would say the department may reinstate or reissue a school bus driver permit or certificate is revoked.
Okay, I guess I would want the hiring authority to be aware that the bus license had been revoked. In other words, I think as a hiring person, I need to know that. And then I can determine, well, was that when you were a kid and you were in college and now you've grown up and we're doing strictly your analysis. So that's my responsibility then as the hiring authority. But I guess I want to know that it's been revoked and let that be on the record. I don't have any trouble with that. Fisher doesn't like that. I can tell.
Mr. Chairman, I'm
trying to compromise here.
Could something be added to that statement where the department may reinstate or reissue with full disclosure? I think that's what you're asking for. I think the 10 years. I think if line 25 has 10 years, you probably would want it up in lines 2 and 3. In other words, it would be the same period of time. But I think you have a very good comment there that you would want to know the history. So.
I would be very happy to give them a chance to respond to that, Mr. Chair. I know you're trying to move things along, but I'm like everybody else. I haven't had a lot of chance to think this out, and maybe Trish may have something to help us.
Chair Starr, Senator Duncan, I passed up to Senator Duncan, I believe the chair is looking at it now, the current administrative rules regarding the hiring practices for school bus drivers. School bus drivers are not, they are not hireable, essentially, if they have a conviction on their record. I don't have the specific language in front of me, but it's in front of you, and that provision is already in place through rule and statute. We do not tolerate drug and alcohol abuse among our school bus drivers, and if they've been convicted for that, we already have that provision.
Mr. Chair,
it's there, administrative rule.
For the record, Tricia Smith, I agree with what Ms. Darby has told you about current law as it exists in Oregon. And I will state for you again that if you are concerned about drug and alcohol use among school bus drivers, please look at Senate Bill 85A and pull out the portion that requires certification of drivers who drive vehicles with a capacity of 10 to 20 and require the department to institute those rules. Because if you drive a vehicle for a school district that has a capacity of 10 to 15 children right now, you do not have to be drug tested at all, ever. And we believe that you should be, and we believe you should be tested behind the wheel of the vehicle, and we believe that you should be trained to do so. And that's what the language in Senate Bill 85 did. So if the concern is people driving children in vehicles for school districts that are maybe using drugs or alcohol, I would suggest to you this should not be your focus. That is taken care of currently under law and rules. And your focus should instead be those smaller vehicles that are being driven by people who have no training and no testing currently.
Thank you.
Jim Robinson is in the room and just reviewing some of our comments and discussions as we talk about conceptually amending this amendment.
Well, that's great, Mr. Chairman. One thing that, as I understand, and I look again at this, verifies that in my mind too. The current rules regarding the Oregon Department of Education being allowed to deny application for a school bus driver is based on a conviction of a crime like a DUI or having their driver's license suspended. what this amendment deals with is not whether a cop pulls you over and gives you a ticket and you're convicted. What this says is if you submit to a screening test and fail that test, it has a procedure for it. It has nothing. That's not the same as what that is in B through D.
Chair Starr, Senator Metzger, Beth Ann Darby for the OEA. I'll just clarify. The reason I sent the up there was to respond to Senator Duncan's concern about the ability to hire someone. We were having a conversation about whether you could hire someone whose license had been revoked for these reasons. If you look a little further into the administrative rule, you'll also see that there are already currently provisions that allow for the suspension, the revocation, or the... there are three criteria that can be used to remove a bus driver. The random drug testing program that was set up through the federal guidelines that I spoke of earlier allows wide latitude for those random testing. A driver also has to be tested if they're ever in any sort of an accident. That's also, and if they test positive, it's certainly grounds for revocation or suspension. But they always have the school districts and the facts and circumstances surrounding the event always play into it. But the way that the random drug testing program works right now is a driver comes back from a run in the morning or maybe before they go out. There's a doctor there just waiting in the bus yard. They're expected to give a specimen on the spot, and if they fail that test, they can be removed, suspended, and have their license revoked. We already have many of those provisions in place through the federal law, which was set up to be a very stringent standard, but also be consistent among all commercial drivers. This law applies to aircraft carrier pilots. I'm sorry. It applies to our shift guards. It applies to truck drivers the interstate truck drivers, and it also applies to our school bus drivers. And so it's a law that really has safety in mind. The focus is on safety of other people as well as our students and children specifically.
In that process, is there an opportunity for a permanent revocation?
Yes, there is. That ability is already in law.
Mr. Chair, I'm concerned about one thing. Where's Debbie Lincoln? Is she aware of...
Yes, she is. Chuck and Jim Green went over this with her in depth. And Jim, if you want to come up and relay any kind of conversation that's relevant. Thank you, Chuck.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Green again with the Oregon School Board Association. Yes, we did see Deborah Lincoln at the Department of Education regarding these amendments and had a conversation with her. She was in support of them. And Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, if you want to eliminate the permanent ban, that's fine. If there's a lot of heartburn over that, leave it with the discretion of the Department of Education. That's fine as well. And Mr. Chairman, Senator Duncan, I would like to point out to you that on the first part of the amendment, where they fail that drug test, the school district or ESD that employs that person is notifying the Department of Ed of that. Deborah Lincoln had the same concern that you said, was we need to notify the district, and John Fairchild, the transportation director in Salem-Keizer, had the same issue. The rulemaking authority that the Department of Education has here is very broad with regard to that, and Deborah had indicated that they would notify the employer of the fact that they had suspended or revocated it at any time, so that the person would not be driving a school bus.
Senator Duncan, did that answer your question? Representative Berger?
Yes. Could you tell me how many school bus accidents or incidents in the last 5 years that bus drivers have been found under the influence of either drugs or alcohol?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Berger, with regard to accidents or incidents, there has not been, to my knowledge, one where there has been an accident or incident. I can relay to you information that John Fairchild, the transportation director here in the Salem-Keizer district, relayed to me within his time, and he was the former transportation director at the Department of Education. As I said earlier, there have been 17 instances this year that were reported to the Department of Education where a person holding a valid school bus driver certificate this year failed a year analysis test, and those licenses have been revoked. John Fairchild with Salem Kaiser indicates that over his time at Salem Kaiser, and I believe that's 3 to 4 years, he's had at least 5 bus drivers that have failed a reasonable suspicion test, because you do drug testing or alcohol testing either randomly through your employment pool, or you do a reasonable suspicion where a person shows up and you have some suspicion that the person is either has used drugs, illegal drugs, or alcohol. He's had 5. And of those 5, they were found to be in violation and was reported to the Department of Education.
Follow up, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So even though we have rules in place, we still have people that actually violate those rules. Would you agree with that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Berger, that's correct. And I would like to make the point, I know Ms. Darby with the Oregon Education Association handed out those rules, and I think Senator Metzger was right on. That deals with conviction. You've heard from Alan Tressider that there are last chance agreements in place where a person fails and it's not reported to the Department of Education. Because right now there is not clear in the rules or in statute whether that report has to be made. Deborah Lincoln has said that, and transportation directors across the state have said that. We believe that that report should be made to the entity that authorizes that license. They're the people that have the ability to revoke or suspend that license at that time.
Okay. At this point, due to the concern about the Dash 10 amendments, and I'm the proponent and author of those, I'm going to take those off the table. I believe that the rest of the amendments are necessary and the bill is necessary, and so I would ask that we not include the Dash 10 amendments, and I'm going to make a motion now to adopt the other amendments. Yes.
Could I make a comment?
Yes.
I think I could concur with what your decision there, but I do think it's a and I'm glad you brought it forward, because I think it is an issue that needs a pretty good discussion, and maybe in the interim someplace along the line working with the department so people take a look at everything
and
make it clear of the whole thing, because it does sound like there is a problem that needs to be corrected, and I'm just not sure that and maybe it's the immediate problem that needs to be corrected someplace along the line. So I'm not unhappy that you brought them forward, but I'm uncomfortable with the way they read that.
I understand.
Mr. Chairman, since we're moving in that direction, and I'll just ask the chair this in this session, we have had considerable discussion regarding Section 13 and 14, or seems to be the area of dispute.
Right.
We still have the Section 11 and 12 in which there doesn't have to be a dispute, which is getting the old school buses off the road. And I would ask the chair and those who've worked on that issue as to whether we could possibly still do lines 1 through 11 that we have not had the argument on, and leave those other issues, as Senator Duncan said, to the interim. But I would be disappointed to lose an important element that there is agreement on, and it's critical, because of the dispute with the alcohol testing. I know that's your call, Mr. Chair, and I'll support you on your decision. But
I would rather we that we move this bill without that in the bill today. We're not without other options before we sign it.
Okay,
Mr. Chair. You and I will have a conversation.
Okay.
So I'm going to make a motion. I move that the House concur with the Senate amendment dated May 15th, and that House Bill 2137B be amended further with the -B8, -B12, and -B13 amendments, and be repassed. That's the motion on the table. So it's all the amendments that John went over, except for the B10 amendments. They deal with the DMV disabled parking issue, the Attorney General's fix of the -8 amendments, and then the conflict amendments to the -12 amendments. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. need to make any other motions? Are we done?
You said it's amended, didn't you?
We're done. We need a carrier.
Amended with the disabled parking sign.
Yes.
Need two carriers. I'll carry this in the House side. Do we have a carrier in the Senate side?
I'll be happy to.
Senator Metzger will carry in the Senate side. I believe our work is done, and so the Conference Committee on House Bill 2137 is adjourned.